Day 180 on 104.5 The Zone, queued up by Edley's Barbecue on this Spirit of Sports Fest Day here on 104.5 The Zone. With Chad Withrow in Mount Juliet and Paul Kaharski in Brentwood, I'm Jonathan Hutton in Murfreesboro. Pleased to be joined by El Tiante, Louis Tion from Cuba. He holds the record for most wins by any Cuban-born pitcher in the majors, a three-time All-Star. His Major League Baseball career spanned three decades, mostly with the Boston Red Sox, and he's nice enough to join us by phone. Louis, how are you?
I'm good, my friend. I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We are excellent today. In 1961, Fidel Castro told Cuban players, if you went to America to play baseball, you were not welcome back. And you wouldn't return to Cuba for 46 years. And that's the premise of your book, Son of Havana, which is available now. Were you scared to leave Cuba in 1961 to come to the States to play professionally?
No, I was in Mexico that time. I played in Mexico, in the Mexican League for 3 years. The Mexican City Tiger. That's the first time I signed a professional, 59. And then, you know, I was in Cuba, you know, when Bay Peak. I was in Cuba at that time, you know. And then I get out. I was about a month and a half. They opened the flight, and then I get out. But I go to Mexico and play in the Mexican League, 1961. Then in the winter, I go to Puerto Rico. And that's when Cleveland buy my contract. And then I come into the United States in 1962 to Charleston, West Virginia. In 63, to Burlington, North Carolina. In 64, I go into Portland. Half time in Portland. And then they call me to the big league. That's when I come to the United States.
Louis Tion, our guest here on the Midday 180. What does the saying, a good rooster fights anywhere, mean to you? And is that how you would describe your pitching mentality?
No. The pitching mentality is, you have to have a good mentality. You have to think it to pitch. You just can't throw the ball like a lot of those young guys doing today. Everybody want to throw hard. But no, I don't think that's the reason to be a good pitcher. You be a good pitcher because you know what to do with the hitter. You know how thinking. You know how go around the hitter. And the thing is, you're gonna do that. You have to use your brain. And then you know, most of those hitters they have more ability than you have. How are you gonna get them out? You're not going to get him out. You're not using your brain. How you have to get him out, how you have to pitch. And that's, I think that's the big difference now and when we used to pitch. But, you know.
Tell us about the origin of your windup. I think most people hear your name and immediately have a vision of you in the middle of the windup that was so distinctive. And that made you stand out. How did you develop that?
I developed that in 1972 when I was in Boston. You know, the first time they let me open a game, starting, but I was in the bullpen, 71, and probably beginning 72. And then I remember Sonny Seaver. He come out that night, he's supposed to pitch, and he come out sick, and he can pitch. And the manager asked me, you ready? I said, I've been ready all my life. Just give me the ball, and I go and pitch. I started pitching, and then I pitch him against Cleveland. Then in the seventh inning, I got to hit him two strikes, no ball. And then I said, let me try this. And, you know, I just try it. I turn it around and look in the center field and look in the sky and then throw side out. And I can see the guy hit it, open the eyes, they get out from home plate. The ball was in the middle of the home plate. And then strike three, and he had frisk. What was that? He said, no, it's a new pitch. Are you kidding me? I said, yeah, that's a new pitch. And then from that point, I start practicing point release where what I had to do to get a better control. And, you know, and I come out and win 172 after 172 games. You know, they really helped me.
Louis Tion is our guest, and the name of the book is Son of Havana. And Louis, you are also the son of Louis Tion Sr., who spent 23 seasons going back and forth between the Negro Leagues in the United States and Cuban professional leagues during the winter. What was that like for him? Obviously, every player and every generation, things are different for them. But in talking with your dad and being such a good player for so many years, what was it like splitting time between the States and the Cuban League?
No, we're different, man. We all those years back, they have a good ball players. You know, that's a Negro League. It was a lot of Cuban players play there in the New York Cuban. And a lot of them, they were pretty good players. You know, but after he finished here, he go back to Cuba, Puerto Rico, Dominican. No, Venezuela, like I did it, and played winter ball. But I didn't know what's easy. You know what's easy for them, because he told me after a while, later on, you know what, how much money they make, but they have to play three games every day and make it 50 cents a game. You know, that's hard. But, you know, he did it. And what I heard, only a lot of these coaches, they coming with my coaches in winter ball, they told me you was good, but your father was better than you. You know, and that's a good thing. Make you feel good. At least they're talking good about my father. You know.
Did your father pitch against Babe Ruth?
Yep, he pitched him in the game. In the game, he told me, they bring him to pitch in Babe Ruth the game in New York. And they told him to let Babe Ruth hit the ball out of the park all the time. Just throw the ball in there and let it hit out. And my father said, yeah, okay, no problem. I did that. And then when he went to the mound and pitching to him, he can hit it anyway. He can hit it one pitch. And they get mad at my father. So, we're telling you to throw the ball in there and let it hit it. And he said, no, I'm not going to do that. And they take him out. But he said, no, I don't want to do that.
So he told me that happened.
Yeah, he told me that. Nothing. You just take him out. Yeah, he don't want it. He said, no, I don't want it to happen.
Mm-hmm. I grew up in New Jersey. The one game Red Sox Yankee playoff in 1978 was the highlight of my baseball life. It was a year later when you joined the good guys, Louis.
Yeah.
You write in the book about your son coming into the Yankees clubhouse and seeing you sit next to Bucky Dent. Mm-hmm. What was that like for him a year removed, a couple months removed from Bucky Dent hitting that home run that broke Boston's heart, to seeing you sit next to the enemy?
No, big deal, man. I think what happened here was, first, you know, I know I'm not trying to put in no excuse in anything. The problem was, I never supposed to go anywhere. I supposed to stay in Boston, okay? And this guy on the team, I don't know what they're trying to do. They don't want to pay me. You know, they don't want to give me what I'm asking for. And they told me, good luck wherever you go. They said, well, that's the only thing they said to me. And then, you know, George wanted me. He only wanted to pick me in the draft and the free agent, whatever. And then that's the only thing I can go with. And I go over there. And even before I signed the contract, I was there with my agent, and I called him. I said, look, I'm here with you. He told me to call you back or go back to Boston, talk to you. And they say, well, no, we can do anything. We just stay the way it is. Good luck, whatever you do. You know, I say, okay, thank you. You know, and then I go and sign it. And I tell you the truth. It was the enemy. It was whatever you got people want to call him. But he was good to me. He take care of me. He was good to me. Better than the Red Sox owners in that time. No, this guy now. But I really I don't have to be in there. No, I have no choice. And then when I go, Boogie Lane, was my next lucky. He was next to me and Figueroa was on the other side and Figueroa. And we come in great friends. We still good friends. We still see now. We do the rivalry, you know, four players for New York and four players for Boston and go and making appearances and stuff, you know. And I say, I never hate nobody. I don't think I'm using that word. I think that's a bad word to use. You might dislike it or I don't like it. So, hey, I was on both sides. I never hear that. I hate this guy. I hate that guy. Which is what they do, both sides. They play to the next level to try to beat you. And you know, everybody happy when they beat you. We win the game, we beat it. And both sides same. You know, and I think the only two guys I know they don't like him too much were Captain Fish and Tema Monson and Lupinella and Tema Monson. Everybody else, I never hear them say anything bad about it.
Hey, I loved watching you play, no matter what side you were on. I know a lot of people feel the same way. It's been great connecting with you. We really appreciate the time.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you, you guys, for giving me the chance to be in your show, okay? I really appreciate that. Thank you.